All right, this is Pastor Farrell Shepherd welcoming you to the Thursday afternoon edition of the Sending Forth the Light radio broadcast from the Island Ford Baptist Church. We're glad you're tuned in today, hoping that you're enjoying a good day. We appreciate you listening and us having the opportunity to come over the WSOF and WAJJ radio airwaves. This broadcast is for Thursday, April the 9th. And my, how quickly it seems like this month and this year is already kicked in and moving on so quickly. But I'm grateful that we have the privilege to enjoy these days and these moments together. And I hope that you're having a good day and being blessed of the Lord. Hope you had a good night at the Lord's house last night. And hope you've been having a good day thus far today. Amen and amen. Well, we're going to go to the Lord in prayer. Ask the Lord that he might meet with us and help us. I'd ask you, if you will, pray for me on this day. I'm headed to Kansas and planning on preaching on Friday night, Saturday night, and Sunday morning and night in Larned, Kansas. And then we'll be on Thursday, Friday, and Saturday in Lindsborg, Kansas, and be in meetings there. So if you can pray for us about that. My dad is a church planter in Kansas. And some of you may have heard of him, Plato Shepherd. He started four churches now in Kansas. Been there 22, 23 years, something along those lines. And I think that'll be next month. It'll be the anniversary of the time they've been there. And God's blessed him and allowed him to start some churches and see God's work go forward there. And we're grateful and thankful. And I'll be with him, actually be with him throughout that whole time. He'll be in those meetings, but I'll be at his church, the newest church he started now on Friday night, which will be tomorrow night. If you will, pray for us there that God would bless that and use us for his glory and honor. And then throughout the Sunday evening services there. And then those services on Tuesday, Wednesday, and Friday of the following week will be the Mid-Kansas Camp Meeting. My dad moderates that meeting, and they have different preachers and good men of God that will be there. We're looking forward to it, and looking forward to fellowship, looking forward to encouraging those men of God to stand and stay with the old paths and stay with the stuff and keep on keeping on for the glory of God. So if you'll pray with us about that, that would be a blessing, and I would certainly be thankful. And we'll be back, Lord willing, we'll get back on Friday or Saturday of next week, and we'll be gathering in. And so we're looking forward to that. Hope you will be as well. All right. If you're in a position that you can, would you pray with us as we go to the Lord in prayer at this time? Our Heavenly Father, I want to thank you for your goodness, grace, and mercy bestowed upon us. Thank you, Lord, for bringing us to the place that we'd hear the truth and we'd heed the truth and be saved by your grace. I want to thank you for birthing us into the family of God, for the Holy Ghost conviction that came our way. And, Lord, you put us in the place we recognized we was headed to hell, recognized we deserved it. The Lord also saw that our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ tasted death for every man, died on the cross that we didn't have to go to hell. We could be saved by your grace. Father, I want to thank you for saving me. Lord, I pray you'd do the same for others out there in the listening public today. Those in the listening audience, I pray, dear God, you'd deal with those that are unsaved. You'd bring them to faith in Christ. Father, you'd bring them to the place of the end of themselves. They'd recognize their need, their drastic, desperate need of the Savior, and they'd get saved before it's too late. Father, I pray you'd help the saints. Dear God, that we'd serve you, and Lord, strengthen us that we might bring you glory like that we ought to. Help us be sanctified, set apart, meet for the Master's use. And Lord, that you'd get glory through our lives. Father, I pray now you'd bless the broadcast. Lord, I pray that it will accomplish whereunto you've sent it. Lord, use it for your glory. We ask now in Jesus' name, amen and amen. If you want to be turning in your Bible to the book of Jude, we'll be looking at those verses again that we've been looking at day after day here on the broadcast. And we're looking in Jude verses number 3, 4, 8, and then also 2 Peter chapter number 2. And reading, I believe it's verse number 10 there, and we'll be reading those things for you and preaching the message and the thought that we have for today. Now, before we get there, let's listen to our family sing, and I hope this will be a blessing and that it'll just help you in your daily walk with the Lord. Amen and amen. I hope that song was a blessing to your heart. It certainly was mine. I enjoyed hearing that again. That good old song, Just a Little Talk with Jesus. Sung a cappella style, and of course that's the family, my family, that's actually the guys in my family, that's me singing lead or soprano, then Benjamin singing tenor, Joshua singing bass, Daniel singing baritone, and I hope that was a blessing to you. I love that old song. I'm glad we can talk to the Lord, and I'm telling you, sometimes it don't take a big long prayer. sometimes just a little talk with Jesus does a whole lot of good. Amen. And I want to encourage you to be in prayer. I want to encourage you to find time to pray and become a prayer warrior and become diligent and faithful and fervent in prayer. Amen and amen. All right. Well, we're going to go into the scriptures now. If you'll look with us in the book of Jude and verses 3 and 4. The Bible says, "Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith, which was once delivered unto the saints. For there are certain men crept in unawares, who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness, and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ." Verse number 8 says, "Likewise also these filthy dreamers defile the flesh, despise dominion, and speak evil of dignities." 2 Peter chapter 2, verse number 10, talks about these same men. It says, "But chiefly them that walk after the flesh in the lust of uncleanness and despise government. Presumptuous are they, self-willed, that they are not afraid to speak evil of dignities." And I've been preaching to you about the fact how that people try to destroy the King James Bible and destroy your confidence in that Bible. One of the means that they use is that they'll try to defame the character of King James himself. And again, I say, King James did not write the King James Bible. That Bible was written by holy men of God, that God moved upon them with the Holy Ghost and gave them his words. But the King James translation of the Bible is actually officially named the Authorized Version. It is commonly known as the King James Bible because King James was the king on the throne that authorized the establishment of that translation committee and then authorized the publication and the printing of that Bible. And people loved that Bible so well, and they loved that king so well, that they commemorated him with the Bible and so gave that his name. And so it's called the King James Bible. But some men will come along and talk about how that King James was a wicked man. I've heard men on tapes, I've heard men on DVDs, and I've read after men that have defamed the character of King James. They'll say, "You know, King James was a wicked man." Oh, they'll say he was a vile, ungodly person. He was a very immoral, perverted person. They'll say, "Why, he was even accused of being a homosexual." What they don't tell you was that King James was married lifelong. As long as his wife lived, he stayed with her, Anne of Denmark. And they had 8 children. Amen. That King James was publicly affectionate with his wife. That King James publicly taught about morality and marriage. Amen. That King James declared that sodomy was a crime that the king dared not forgive. Amen. That King James spoke publicly against adultery and fornication, as well as sodomy. Amen. That King James was against these sexual sins that are so prevalent in our day and were even fairly well prevalent in their day, especially among the monarchy, among the kings and queens and princes and prince. That they were very, very well known and very profligate and prominent in their life, promiscuous in their lifestyle. Well, King James taught about the importance of morality and marriage. King James wrote a book called the Basilican Doron. King James wrote that book to instruct his son. And I've got some quotes from that book. I want to read these quotes by King James to his son. He said, "But the principal blessing that you get of good company will stand in your marrying of a godly and virtuous wife. Being flesh of your flesh and bone of your bone, marriage is the great earthly felicity. Without the blessing of God, you cannot look for a happy marriage." And so King James instructed his son that you need to keep good company. You need to have good friends. You need to have good people around you. You need to surround yourself with good people. And one of the greatest ways of that, he said, is to marry a godly and a virtuous wife. Amen. I'm telling you what a happy home it makes for the wife and the mother to be a godly wife and mother. What a happy home it makes for the husband and wife to be able to get along with each other and walk hand in hand as they walk with the Lord. Amen. What a happy home. The devil hates that, by the way, and has been working to divide that and destroy that ever since the first marriage in the Garden of Eden. But this man, King James, wrote to his son and said to him, you need to have good company and you need to marry right. You need to marry a godly woman and a virtuous woman. By the way, if you want, boys, if you want to marry a clean, pure, virgin girl, then you ought to be a clean, pure, virgin boy. Amen. You ought to keep yourself pure, and you ought to keep your hands off of her when you're dating or courting or whatever you want to call that. Amen. Keep your hands off of each other. Amen. Keep your mind clean. Keep your eyes out of the pornography. Keep your eyes off of the wickedness of the world and the nakedness. I'm telling you, the warmer it gets, the more clothes people seem to take off and almost today run down the street naked, and it's a shame and a disgrace. And when you see them, you need to turn your head in the other direction. Amen. And if need be, turn yourself in the other direction and go a different way. But James told his son, you need to marry a godly woman. You need to have a virtuous wife. Amen. He said, marriage is the great earthly felicity. In other words, that's a great earthly love, a great earthly blessedness. But he said, the only way you can have a happy marriage is to have the blessings of God. That's how to have a happy marriage. Amen. Let me take just a moment and say this. If you want your home to stand, then you need to be seated in the house of God every opportunity that you have. I see these people that are having problems. They're having a little bit of strife in the home. What they do, they miss church on Sunday night. They start missing church on Wednesday night. Sometimes they even miss church on the Lord's Day morning. I'm telling you, there's something wrong with that. If you want to have a happy marriage, you need to be seated in the house of God. Best is to be seated together, but if one won't go, the other ought to go. Say amen right there. Amen. Man, that's right. I'm telling you, you ought to be seated in the house of God, and you ought to be working to develop a happy home, and the only way to have that is to have the blessings of God in your life. Amen. Well, James goes on to instruct his son from this book, The Basilicon Doron. He said, keep your body clean and unpolluted while you give it to your wife, whom to only it belongs, for how can you justly crave to be joined with the virgin if your body is polluted? Boy, he's saying exactly what I was saying a moment ago. If you want to marry a virgin girl, you ought to be a virgin boy. Amen. Girls, if you want a good godly husband, you ought to be a good godly spouse, ready to receive a godly husband. You ought to keep yourself pure. If you've made a mistake, you ought to go on from where you're at and go on to serve God. Keep yourself pure. Don't continue on dabbling in sin. Don't continue on at polluting. The more junk you throw in there, the more garbage you throw in there, the more it'll look like a dump. Amen. I'm telling you, live your life as clean as possible. Ask God to wash you and cleanse you and make you whiter than snow. Amen. So he said, you ought to keep yourself clean. You ought to keep yourself unpolluted. Amen. And then he goes on. He said, why should the one half be clean and the other defiled? He's talking about this marriage partner. Amen. If you want her to be true to you, you be true to her. If you want him to be true to you, you be true to him. Amen. Why should the one half be clean and the other defiled? King James said. He goes on to say, and suppose I know fornication is thought but a venial sin by the most part of the world. In other words, he said fornication is not thought to be much important. That's still true today, isn't it? Amen. We've got boys and girls listening to rock music. By the way, if you're listening to rock music, you're listening to music about fornication. If you're listening to country music, you're listening to music about fornication and adultery. Amen. If you're listening to some of this rap and some of this heavy metal and some of this music that the world is promoting today, you're listening to music about fornication and adultery and even sodomy and necromancy and bestiality and on we go. Perverted, wicked, ungodly music produces perverted, wicked, ungodly lifestyles. Amen. Listen to me, fellas. If you want to be pure, don't listen to cheating music. Don't wear cheating clothing. Amen. Don't run with cheating people. Keep yourself pure. Keep your clothes on. Keep the right kind of music on your radio. Amen. And whatever it is you listen, whether it be an iPod or whether it be a CD or a Walkman, whatever it is that you have there, you ought to keep good, godly music on it, not this world of music. I'll say the same thing to you ladies, listen, don't be listening to cheating music. That's worldly music. Don't be wearing cheating clothing. That's worldly revealing clothing. Amen. Keep yourself pure. Keep yourself clean and stay away from those things. Amen. That's just good advice from the pastor. Amen. And I believe I've got Bible to back that up, by the way. Amen. Amen. Well, he said, I suppose I know that fornication is thought to be a venial sin by the most part of the world. Yet remember well what I said to you in my first book regarding conscience, and count every sin and breach of God's law, not according as the vain world esteems it, but as God, judge and maker of the laws, accounts of the same. In other words, he said, you don't reckon sin by the way the world looks at it. You reckon sin by the way a holy God's going to look at it. Amen. He said, hear God commanding by the mouth of Paul to abstain from fornication, declaring that the fornicator shall not inherit the kingdom of heaven. And by the mouth of John, reckoning out fornication among the other grievous sins, that declares the committers to be among dogs and swine. And then James notes the end thereof, as a man give over to his own filthy affections. Now here's King James. Listen to this. Here's King James talking to his son and writing to his son. In a book that's still standing today, a book called Basilicon Doron, King James wrote to instruct his son about the duties of being a king, and of course he's dealing here with keeping your body pure, keeping your marriage vows right, amen, and pure, the bed undefiled, amen. And you see, King James obviously knew his Bible very well. Here he's referencing a number of scriptures. He's referencing the Apostle Paul saying to abstain from fornication. He's referencing the Apostle Paul declaring that the fornicator shall not inherit the kingdom of heaven. He's referencing John, the Revelator, as putting those that commit fornication among other grievous sins to be with dogs and swine outside the gate. He mentions the Apostle James as he's talking about a man given over to his filthy affections. Amen. Now, let me read you some of these scriptures that King James is alluding to and referencing in this statement. In 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4 and verse number 6, here's what the Apostle Paul said under inspiration of the Holy Ghost. He said, for this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that ye should abstain from fornication. Amen. And so Paul said, abstain from fornication. 1 Corinthians chapter number 6, verses number 9 and 10. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. James knew his Bible well. King James recognized that Paul said that these people will not inherit the kingdom of God. He's talking about fornicators. That is, people that commit sex, have sex outside of marriage bonds. Amen. And then he talks about idolaters. You know what that is? People that worship idols. He's talking about adulterers. That's people that have multiple partners and don't stay true to their partner. He says effeminate. You know what that is? That's men that act like women. Amen. Abusers of themselves with mankind. That's men with men. Amen. Then thieves. Of course, you know what thieves are. Covetous. Those that lust after other things not belonging to them. Drunkards, those given to wine and alcohol. Revilers, that's those that speak evil. Extortioners, those that try to extract money from others in evil ways. He said, these shall not inherit the kingdom of God. And James recognized that and reminded his son of that and told his son, keep that in your memory that it might keep you clean and pure and holy before God. Amen. Sounds like some good fatherly advice. By the way, we need some dads that'll talk to their sons straight again, tell them that they need to live right, keep themselves clean. Amen. Don't just tell them be careful, tell them to live right. Don't just tell them be safe, tell them to be holy and sanctified. Amen. For the glory of God. James, I'm talking about King James now, not only quoted Paul the Apostle in 1 Thessalonians 4:3, Paul the Apostle in 1 Corinthians 6, 9 and 10, but he quoted John in Revelation 22, verse 15. Here's what John said. For without are dogs and sorcerers and whoremongers and adulterers and idolaters and whosoever loveth and maketh a lie. Amen. Now, dogs that he's talking about there is not just talking about four-legged canine creatures. If you'll study your scriptures, you'll know that dogs is another term for a sodomite. And, of course, if you've seen dogs, you know how dogs are. Dogs are very unclean. Dogs are very unclean. They'll do things with their mouth that are unclean. They'll do things with their bodies that are unclean. Amen. And that's what sodomites are guilty of. Amen. He says they're without. They're not going to be in that city of light. They're not going to be in that heavenly Jerusalem. They're not going to be in that eternal abode with the saints. Are you listening to me? Not that they're without. They're the dogs. And then he said sorcerers. Of course, you know what that is. That deals with magic and witchcraft. But it also deals with pharmacia, deals with drugs and that sort of thing. All right. Then he calls whoremongers. What's a whoremonger? A whoremonger is a term for fornicator. Today, we don't use the word whoremonger. We don't use the word fornicator much. We talk about premarital sex or illicit sex. Or we call it hookups, one-night stands, things such as that. The Bible says they're whoremongers. Amen. The Bible says they're chasing after harlots and they're making harlots of the women. Amen. And so whether it be the woman or the man, they're both guilty of fornication and adultery. And God said they're going to be cast out of the city, the holy city. And they're going to be out there with the dogs, the sodomites. They're going to be out there with the sorcerers, the drug dealers. They're going to be out there with the magic workers, the wicked, ungodly people. And they're going to be out there with the murderers and the idolaters. And he said, whosoever loveth and maketh a lie. Amen. Now, the book of James, I'm not talking about King James, the book of James in your Bible says this, James chapter 1, verse number 14. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Amen. Now, here's my point. James, King James now, is writing a book to his son to instruct his son how he ought to live as the next king. King James believed in the divine rights of kings. King James believed that the kingship, the monarchy, should be passed down through the lineage. And that he believed in a superintending God that only allowed the proper sons to be born, the proper ones to be in line to receive the royal lineage. And so he believed that his son should be the next king and that should be perpetual down through the ages. But he also believed that that son ought to be a godly king. That son ought to be a moral man, and he taught him to abstain from those worldly lusts, those wicked sins that the world's so wrapped up in. Now, let me say this. I don't believe that King James was an immoral man. Matter of fact, I believe just the opposite. I believe that King James was a very moral man. I would to God we had leaders today that would use their opportunity, we'll say their pulpit, for the purpose of promoting righteousness like King James did, rather than supporting ungodliness and filthiness like they're doing today. Well, I've run out of time. This is Pastor Farrell Shepherd. I appreciate you listening today. Pray you'll tune in tomorrow at 5:05 for the Sending Forth the Light radio broadcast. And until then, may God bless you.